Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Let's take a look here. It's both types of sports, and it's just Shoot, not Tour. Thank you for subscribing. Miles Garrett on staying with the Browns. I think the fans will see my heart is in the right place. It's never been about the money. It's always about winning. Huh. Tell you what, man, it would be really refreshing if just one of these guys came out and said, they offered me a shitload of money, so I took, I'd like to win too. Winning is important to me. But if you're Miles Garrett, nobody believes you that winning is the most important thing to you when you just took, you got more money than any non-quarterback has ever received in the history of the NFL, the history of the franchise you're playing for. And you see their situation with Deshaun Watson and with the cap and some of the pieces that they've already traded away or separated themselves from, and the Nick Chubb era has come to a conclusion. I look, man, I don't ever fault anybody for wanting to make a shitload of money. I don't know a lot of people that don't. Maybe the people that don't live happier lives. I don't know. I think being able to not worrying about picking up a check if you want to go out for a steak, not worry about, you know, are we going to be able to afford a summer vacation this year? And this, of course, this gets past all of the normal shit. Where do we have shelter from rain? Is there an air condition? Is there a window rattler that we can plug in when it's 110 degrees in Plano, Texas? I don't know. But I wish, I respect the shit out of money and what it means and what it provides for your family and what it provides for your loved ones and what it provides for the people around you, and also what it provides for yourself in not being able to be self-sufficient, right? I don't bum cigarettes. I don't need you to come pick me up because my car has been impounded or I can't afford gas. I went through that. There's a phase in my life I went through that. But one of the things that money gives you is security with yourself, where you are not going to be a burden on others. Now, when you take as much money, and he didn't go run in there with a ski mask, Miles Garrett, on and say, give me your money. He didn't take it. It was offered it to him, and he accepted it from a buffoonish organization, right? Like, they're foolish for not realizing the situation they're in and not trading Miles Garrett away from two, maybe three first-round picks. Or two firsts and a second, or two firsts and a player that can help them in the future. Like, it's not Miles Garrett's fault that the Browns are clowns. But I don't know how you can say you're all about winning and you're all about team and the money doesn't matter when you have a deal worth that much money and you realize the dire straits your organization is in. That's something we can talk about. Just a couple of few. I just saw that quote as we were firing up the show. Joining me, as always, from Houston, Texas, my favorite guy in the business, does a great job on the Salisbury Show each and every day. He's got a lot of irons in the fire, so we still appreciate him making time for our little corner of the internet. The great Sean Salisbury is my guest on both types of sports. Sal, it's great to have you on, buddy. How are you?
How you doing, my man? Good to be with you.
Man, so much to talk about. I think, unfortunately, I wanted to ask you about your boys trading Laremy Tunsil. I want to ask you about Aaron Rodgers, but we got to start where we always start.
This is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there, but, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So, yeah.
We here. We're here. DeMarcus Lawrence, welcome to the Seahawks. Thanks for joining us. That
DeMarcus Lawrence giving an interview to Hawk Blogger. Why there wasn't a follow-up question there, Sal? I don't know. Maybe he was just gobsmacked that DeMarcus Lawrence volunteered that quote, but it's what everybody's talking about. You're in Texas. You know how big of a shadow that star casts. What does it say that that guy who was there for 10 years, I think he signed a $100 million deal while he was there, has that to say by going to what some would argue a rebuilding franchise in the Seattle Seahawks?
I think what he's trying to say is what we all pretty much know. How old are you right now, Chad?
I'm 46.
Right. So double your age and the Cowboys at this rate still won't have another Super Bowl since the mid-90s. I got a lot of friends in Dallas. You know, I lived there for over a decade, and my kids went to high school in Plano, and a lot of respect. I love Jerry Jones. I do. I love a lot of people involved with it, but they just don't get it. You know, then the beef between him and obviously Micah Parsons, that'll go on. But if you measured winning by chaos and stupid moves and what the hell are you doing since, well, the mid-90s, the Cowboys would be winning Super Bowls every year if that's how we measured success. So I don't know if he's going to get one where he's going, but he ain't going to get one where he was staying. I can tell you that anytime soon. What have they done this offseason? What did they do last offseason? There's this sense of, and I love the fan, but I do. There's nothing I don't like about Dallas. And I'm even being in Houston. I'm not one of those guys. It's the Hatfields and McCoys, Houston and Dallas. I don't care. Good fans on both, good people. I'm a Raider fan anyway, so they can fight all they want, these two cities. But it just blows my mind. I don't know when people are being progressive and moving, getting things done, working salary caps, doing all the things they can, and then being wise in the draft and start to build instead of wait. It almost feels like the entitlement is still there that, hey, man, don't you know who we are? Yeah, we know exactly who you are. You're just an average football team. You'll play some good games in the regular season when you're healthy, but when it gets to January – you're just another guy, one of 14 that gets there and finds their way out if you're fortunate to get there. I don't understand why every year we have the same conversation. They're horse shit in the offseason. They don't do anything. And they just assume that the guys there are all of a sudden going to elevate their play through the roof and that one guy's going to do three guys' jobs. It is I don't think he's that far off about the Cowboys. Like I said, I don't know if he's going to go win a Super Bowl in his new place, but I can assure you this where there's smoke, there's fire. When these guys go back and forth, there's going to be – because they sit in the same rooms. This isn't done, obviously. But as far as the Cowboys as a football team and a chaotic franchise, Jerry's a great marketer, one of the best ever in anything we've done. But he's not a great GM, and Jerry's ego won't let him. I could have told you. As a matter of fact, if they had a futures bet on will it be before they hired their head coach, not that Brian Schottenheimer won't be good. Love the Schottenheimer family. But I could have told you it was not going to be anybody that got a lot of attention. It was going to be somebody that you hope turned out that Jerry could control, that only wants to be the coach, isn't going to be involved in personnel decisions, and that Jerry is still going to be the face of the franchise and the voice of the franchise and the party of the franchise and the decision maker of the franchise and the marketer of the franchise. And there's only one chef in the kitchen, and unfortunately that chef doesn't know how to go get personnel. Their offseason sucks. The Dallas Cowboys are zero threat to anybody's Super Bowl anytime soon. Most people that are 60 and over will be dead by the time the Cowboys are a threat again.
Hopefully
it won't be me.
Yeah,
102, they'll do something, but nobody's laughing with them. We're laughing at them now with the things they do and don't do, which puts some of these good players in a bad position. They're just not talented enough.
There's one guy that's pretty talented, but you brought it up. Micah Parsons responded to this as he seems to be tasked to respond to everything people say. Quote, this is what rejection and envy look like. Some clown shit. I don't understand that take just because envy, he was there for DeMarcus Lawrence, which I assume he's talking about DeMarcus Lawrence, played there for 10 years, had a success, made a lot of money. So Micah Parsons says this, and then DeMarcus Lawrence responds and said, calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left. And to me, Sal, that's the bigger issue, is that nobody can deny Parsons' talent and his ability. And
great
I think
player.
He's afforded a lot of leeway that other players aren't because of that talent. At least it looks like it to me. Maybe you don't like the timing of what DeMarcus Lawrence says, or maybe think it's in poor taste or where he ended up if he truly wants to win a Super Bowl. But is there anyone that denies that? And he's been there longer than Micah Parsons has. I mean, he's been wearing that star for way longer. He would have more context there. I don't see any lies being told here by DeMarcus Lawrence.
No, and the truth of the matter is a lot of times when you're the loudest voice, and I think Micah Parsons is a fantastic player, but when you're the loudest voice and always talking, there's usually something that you were trying to put cologne on, and I'm not saying Micah Parsons crap because I think he's a great player. You're trying to throw some cologne on some shit, meaning the franchise isn't very good, they're not winning and covering it. And they go back and forth. DeMarcus Lawrence has more skin in the game in Dallas than Micah does. Now, that doesn't mean he's a better player. Micah Parsons is one of the elite players in this league. But here's the thing that bothers me. If you see this now about the winning, what was it like in the building, why they were there together?
That's a great point.
Why they were there together. So what it tells you, it's toxic, it's chaotic. And, of course, Micah Parsons or Dak Prescott or Joe Burrow or Josh Allen, they're going to get more leeway. Why? Is Jimmy Johnson, the former coach there, he ain't treating Troy Aikman like he's treating Sean Salisbury, okay? Not to talk in the third person. You better treat Troy a lot better because that guy's your franchise. I'm going to get some people fired, okay? But Troy would have pulled them all the wrong team. I get that part. But and it'll always hold true. The star is going to get an extra leeway. I get it. But how many rings are they wearing on their finger? There's no lie there. And I don't know who tweets and who doesn't, but if some guy's talking about tweeting there or if that means on their phone or tweeting in the building, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
When they say something, there's always something deeper. So, players always dislike. I always love it when players leave the building and then we hear the argument. Why aren't we hearing it when it's there? I mean, so, but if this is happening, it did just happen overnight. There's obviously been some, I don't know if toxic's the right word, but some uncomfortable things going, but that's nothing new. That's the Cowboys. That's the way I've done it. The old school Michael Irvin, Emmett Cowboys, they just knew how to overcome old school Oakland Raiders. They were grown up enough to either battle amongst each other, have some chaos. And as a matter of fact, they thrived on it, thrived on all your talk. Then they'd go out and kick your ass and put a hang a trophy and have the most fun, have the greatest time. Their practices were a blast. And then what they do, but they worked hard and put their time in and they won because there were no nonsense when it came to taking care of business. Cowboys just don't take care of business. And if we always talk about the leadership, but if the bottom and the top don't find a way to come closer together where that in between the core of your football team isn't productive, then shit like this happens. And unfortunately, I don't know. We're not in the building. There's a lot of he said, she said. And I really don't care about two guys getting back and forth at each other. That doesn't bother me. But I don't see the lies here. And I got news for you. It goes deeper than just two cats that disagree with each other on Twitter. The Dallas Cowboys, like I said, right now, don't scare anybody. But I think the problems run deeper in that building. And it feels to me that selfish and I confess he did it. It's always somebody else's fault exists in that building as well.
I'd agree. And I go back and forth as a guy that sounds that's made his bones in media after you were done playing football and have worked in every, I like the idea of these guys. And I'm so grateful that I was able to build up a brand. So when my radio station did what they did, I had something I could fall back on. I understand Micah Parsons, you can take $5,000 and go do a hit on Johnny Jerkoffs in the middays on AM sports radio. This is different. Like, he's building the foundation of what he can do after his playing career. And I'm for that. Like, I want guys to have that.
I have no issue with that at all. But you just got to understand there's going to be smoke both ways when it happens.
Do you agree with me? Like, the people that vape, like, they're vaping all fucking day. I mean, they're just constantly sucking that shit in. The people that smoke cigarettes, they got to earn it. They got to walk outside. Nobody wants them around. They're smoking in the cold weather, in the rain. And I almost feel like we're going to find out one day the vape. And the podcast to me feels like vaping. We're in the middle of the season. You got to fill an hour. You got to fill 2 hours. That's different than Ben Roethlisberger putting his foot in his mouth in 93.7, the fan 15 years ago on a seven to 10 minute hit once a week. There's so much more exposure and so many more opportunities for you to do something that causes strife in that locker room. That's the part of the podcast aspect from the active players that seems to be, a risk. They're taking a risk.
Yeah, I'm with you. Build your brand. I get it. But I also know that there's a time and a place. Imagine the kind of brand that Warren Moon could have podcasting was around. I mean, I'm just using him because he was a teammate of mine if we were in Minnesota, or Randy Moss or Joe, or Tom Brady. And I know he was a guest with a guest on. But I'm talking about that constant doing it. Because if the podcast isn't any good, meaning if you're just saying coach speak, nobody gives a shit. So what do you got to do? You got to get a little bit in your, when you're talking about the vape, you got to get a little bit outside your, you know, you got the envelope, and you got to attack the making sure you get into people's feelings. You got to think outside the box, and you'll hurt feelings along the way.
Yeah.
And you people are going to respond. And there's a priority that goes with it. I hate to say this, but this is not a hobby. There, you know, some players may be good enough to turn it into a hobby, and I go get it while you can, but there's that back to the maturity. You got to be able to know whatever you're doing here. Do you still have the energy to focus on why you have that podcast working for you in the first place? Is because you're a star player. But we're seeing, and I got news for you. It's not going away, brother. You're going to start seeing high school players doing podcasts that are stars and getting paid to do it before they even walk on a college campus, and they'll be 17 years old. I'm just telling you, because when, if you would have said NIL money 5 years ago, people looked at you and laughed. Come on, dude, that's a long ways away. Or if you would have said player empowerment, that you can go to somebody under contract, say, I'm leaving, I'm not showing up, and then they'll turn around and say, oh, no problem, let's trade you. Whatever you want, buddy. Or you can get in trouble off the field. You can be a great player here on the field. You already got a new contract. You haven't even touched that new contract, and then get run out of Houston and go to Cleveland and get 200. You're negotiating against yourself. They give you $230 million, and you've played like crap since you've been there. Only in sports can you do that, or entertainment. So I have no problem. I don't begrudge any guy from going out. Some of these guys are clever and funny as hell.
Yeah.
But you better understand the energy, the day job, the grind, and everything that comes from it. And that's okay. The maturity part of it. It's a big word. I know it's sometimes it's overused, but I also think it's underused. The ability to time manage and do the things you need to do, and then deal with all the, like you said, you got to earn the smoke of that cigarette. You got to go outside and do it, come back in. You better have a lot of energy, but you also better have a lot of time management skills to be able to do both, and then also deal with all the backlash that comes from the things you got to say to keep people entertained. And if you don't, then nobody's going to watch it. And what does everybody want? We want clicks, and they want views, and they want everything, because the second they walk off the field, and the people who bitch and complain about the media, getting back to the LeBron, Stephen A. Smith, I don't mean to get off, but how they go back, you're not allowed to criticize the kid and all this. Every damn one of them that criticizes media, you can't say that about my – well, they're all going to beg, borrow, cheat, and steal to get a job in broadcasting when their career is over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they can miss me with their whining and sensitivity. We're at an all-time level of bitching, whining, and pussification, and I'm quite frankly sick of it. And I don't really give a flying fuck if they like me or not, okay? I like them, but if you put respect on them, they don't have to like me. I put respect. It's never personal.
Sure.
If it's personal, I'm out of the conversation. That's on whoever wants to make it personal. That ain't me. But I can tell you this, when it comes to, if you miss 15 straight jump shots, you ain't that good that day. Okay. And I'm not going to talk about who you're banging on the side. I don't care about that. I care about that game. So I just, this, oh, we got to appease all these guys. Do we? Yeah, no, I don't have that narrative. My narrative is to be honest, authentic, and transparent. And if that hurts your feelings, well, guess what? Then take your ass on a podcast and go say the same thing about me that you've said a million times. I wasn't very good. Great. Okay. Whoo. I don't care.
Also doesn't mean you don't know the game, which is why I definitely wanted to ask you. One of the questions being asked around this neck of the woods is, why was Laramie Tunsil available for what I would consider a very affordable package of draft picks? I know he'll be 31 soon, but this is a Pro Bowl left tackle, and you're talking about an offensive line, we discussed it all season, that has a very difficult time already keeping CJ Stroud upright. So it certainly was one of the more curious moves as free agency kicked off, and conceivably Adam Peters and Jaden Daniels and everybody with Washington should be thrilled, because I mean, Jaden gets hit almost as much as CJ Stroud does. Do we know why he was available? Do we know? I mean, certainly he was helping that line, and now they are worse off, and they were already not in a good place. Well, how did this whole thing come about?
Chad, you and I think a lot alike. I'm gonna disagree. I'd have ran his ass out of the building too.
Really?
And he'll be great. Now listen, if he goes in with this off-season rejuvenation and is excited, I've said it. They don't have to be mutually exclusive. I think it's a great get for Washington. I do. If he comes in there and with Dan Quinn and they get him going right, and he's a good player. When the ball is snapped, he's a good player. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's not Trent Williams. He's not Ronnie Stanley. Make no mistake about that. I watch him every day. I go back and watch two or three times. He's a good player. He's a solid, good left tackle, and they're hard to come by. I'm going to tell you right in this, the Texans didn't get jobbed in this trade. I promise you. I'd have done it today, yesterday, tomorrow, and six times on Sunday. 17 penalties. Every year he leads the league in penalties. He's at the top of every year. 90% of those or 80% of them are pre-snap penalties. And we can say all we want that, oh, he protects his quarterback. But when the quarterback's on third and 15 because you've illegal procedure three times in a row, I got a problem with it. I don't have anything against Laramie. I thought he was – I think he feels like a good guy. I don't know him. There's been talk here by local reporters that there was toxic offensive line room. That's why they've already eliminated three. Coordinator gone, offensive line coach gone, your best player gone on offensive line, all gone. One is they don't want to have to pay him a third big contract that he was going to go get. They don't want to pay him. Because quite frankly, he's not Trent Williams. Laramie Tunsil to me is not a $30 million player, whatever the contract's paying. He's a really good player. I don't think he's a great player. I can't call you great when you put my team in a bind 17 times in the year. I just can't. I can call you great when the ball snapped, good feet, good hands. I want him on my team. Now, when I say that, you say, well, Sean, is Washington getting a bet? No. If he goes there and the commitment, the offseason, he doesn't show up to OTAs very often. That's the banter around here since he's been here is does he care as much as he should? Now, he goes to Washington. Sometimes you know how that a change of buildings can, man. But get him in the offseason, get him going passion. He's a good player, man. And I actually said, I think it's a really – Washington's been one of my – Washington, Minnesota have been two teams that have kicked ass this offseason, this free agency. I think they've done a great job. And when you change buildings, I can't see him getting 17 penalties, but he's got to prove that two, three, 4 years in a row he's not leading the league in penalties. It'll drive you nuts, and it does every – friggin' week. So they got to fix that. If they get that in Washington fixed pre-snap, Tunsil will be a good player. He's not the best left tackle in football. And anybody that wants to say so, I don't care what grade he gets on PFF. I've seen enough football and I don't know much, but I do know this football. That part I do know. And Laramie Tunsil, good, not great. You can beat him and you can put him in a bind. And that offensive line, I would have damn near run them all out because undisciplined, they'll boob block the whole time. And it's a pillow fight. There's no nasty on the offensive line. And in order for C.J. Stroud and them to go – and D'Amico Ryans must feel the same way, and so does Caserio, because they went gone, trading you. When you get a second, a third, a fourth, and a seventh for Tunsil, and you don't have to pay him all that big money, let Washington deal with that. And I do think Jaden Daniels and Washington are going to reap the benefits of a good player. But I'll damn well tell you, it's going to drive you nuts if in game one, all of a sudden, a Micah Parsons type's come we got a legal procedure or false start. It's number 78, offense, third and 15. And then the next play, you'll gain 12 and have to punt. So I know that we're precious with these offensive linemen. I got news for you. They were below average offensive line the last 2 years, below average. I'd rather have five solid players up there, five guys, grinders, and five, than one star and four or two good ones and then three, because I can manipulate defensively. I can move my guys around to attack your weakness. And penalties are a major undisciplined weakness, and he's got to fix that. If he does, good player. When the ball snaps, he'll punch you and do the things, and I like it. But I think it's a win for the Texans. I would have done the exact same thing, and I think it's a win for Washington because it upgrades. You know what you're getting, but I promise you in those meeting rooms, that offensive line coach and Dan Quinn – as the head coach, we're going to have to fix that. And Cliff Kingsbury is going to have to address how do we get more patient and get nasty and do it. Good player, nothing personal, but as a football player, I can be average with him as we were here, and I can be average without him. So if I'm going to do that, you go ahead and pay him $30 million or whatever it is they're going to make there. I'll pass on it. A win for Washington, a win for the Texans. And I when they traded him, I was like, about time. I think it was a good trade.
You're right, though. Penalties, especially pre-snap, are so demoralizing.
You can't do it. I didn't mean to interrupt you. No, and I'll tell you another thing, man. It's like when a wide receiver, you're standing in the slot.
Yeah.
And you're standing up. You get the luxury of looking all over, and you know you don't have a guy over the top. You're at least Tunsil's got a nasty ass pass rusher. He has got blocked the best guy. But you do that, and I'm thinking, first of all, you get to point to the ref. He'll tell you, and then all you got to do is watch the ball move, and your IQ is so football IQ'd low that you're going to jump off sides in a game. I wish you could fine receivers for jumping off sides pre-snap. it's so friggin' maddening, but undisciplined teams do that. And you know what bothers me is it makes me think, and I love D'Amico Ryans, what was happening on the practice field here? What was happening? If they're doing that in a game, are you just letting it slide on the practice? Oh, no big deal. That's Tuntz. He's our guy. That's LT. That's our wide receiver. It gets to a point where we say, no. You're not a sacred cow. You're not above this. You're not good enough to jump off sides or have 17 penalties in a year. Look at the year before. He was at the top of the league too. You can't have that many penalties and us say, you're the most dominant left tackle in the game. But you know what? We're still punting because of that 5 yards you cost us. So, yeah, I like him. Not personal. When it comes to football, good football player, not a great player. You don't jump off sides. If Tom Brady throws 30 interceptions and 35 touchdowns, is he a good player? Yeah. Is he a great player? Absolutely not. 30 picks don't make anybody great. 17 penalties, the average of one a game. And I can't begin to tell you how many times it put them in a bind. Tunsil's good for Washington, and he'll do good things. But it was good to get him out. They needed a whole change of culture on the offensive line, and I'm glad they did it.
Well, it's why when people are shitting on Rodgers, I go back and I look at his line last year on what is one of the most chaotic seasons I've ever seen for the Jets, and some of it was his fault, of course. But he threw like 5 or 6 picks. I mean, through all that, it's like taking care of the football, to me, is like, let's check the first box, and that's, do you take care of the football? Protected. And everything should come after that, and penalties, I feel – you know, get put into that same category. Something that you're doing on the field individually that hurts us as a team as a whole, and we got no control over it. I can't have that, no matter how talented you are.
It's like tennis, you know, or golf, the unforced errors, right, Chad? You know, if you're in a volley and a person hits it to your forehand and you serve the ball into the net, unforced errors that you didn't have to make some spectacular play. It's the same in football. Listen, sorry about that. It's tough enough.
Right, I'm a dog owner.
Enough to block and play in this league. But it's even tougher when you're undisciplined and not focused enough, and whether your mind's not into it or whether you're just letting your mind wander. When that happens, you put your team in a bind. You really do. And I know one or two happen. It's same with interceptions. When you're throwing the ball because you're not reading coverage and you're just, you know, careless with the football, you put your team in a bind. And, yes, penalties, Rodgers protected, which is going to be interesting to find out where he ends up. But, like I said, I think Washington, it'll serve Tunsil well for a change. But I would suggest, and they don't have to listen to me a bit, I would suggest you light a fire under him in the offseason and get him to OTAs and get him there to make sure that full commitment's there. So you're not saying in the fall we're 6 games in and he's got 9 penalties. Can't have him.
You got to take care of that, Salazar guy. What time for one more for you?
No, go ahead, bud. You're good.
Excellent. I'm glad. This is I want to ask you about the first overall pick too, because we got some new news on that. But I think people aren't really processing the DK Metcalf deal with the Steelers. Is maybe they're just looking at it a different way. They didn't just give him the 4-year, $132 million contract. This is the most expensive contract that the Steelers have ever given out. He surpassed TJ Watt's deal. Let that, you know, take that for what it's worth. But this is not the way the Steelers operate. And the Steelers have not been operating the way the Steelers operate for the past couple of years. I know the results have been the same, but giving up on a first round quarterback, trying to surf along these veterans and to commit to DK Metcalf. We just saw collusion's illegal. We don't do collusion. Right. Geno Smith gets traded 24 hours later. Here's Sam Darnold. We didn't know what was going, but at least Seattle's crossing the T's and dotting the I's. How in the hell do you give all that money to DK Metcalf without having Aaron Rodgers sending over the wink and the nod emoji, being like, sure, I'll sign a second. I'm back from Australia here. I can't believe it's been this many days. And I can't believe, Sal, if it's the Browns, go down the list. If it's the Titans, Jaguars, whomever. I can't believe it's the Steelers that we're having this conversation about, that they're one of these teams without their ducks in a row. And we're actually having people online baiting whether or not Mason Rudolph is going to be their starter up in this upcoming season. It blows my mind away.
Yeah, you know what's just interesting? Goes back to player empowerment, doesn't it? He wants out of Seattle. They appease him, and he goes, trade him to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh signs, it gives him a new deal, and you're right. And I like DK Metcalf. I think he's we know he's a specimen and a hell of a player. And it's all about timing. When people say, well, how do you make more than TJ Watt? Well, we're also going to say, well, how's Mahomes not making $90 million a year with his production, right? People are just going to, what, Dak Prescott's still the highest paid. Why Brock Purdy's going to go by Tua, who hasn't, 53, 55. It's almost, you're a yawner if you're making $45 million a year as a quarterback. But, yeah, make no mistake, Watt's the best player on that team. But I digress. But listen, supply and demand, what you need, add him with Pickens. They've got good receivers, and it isn't the Steelers' norm. It really isn't. It's all about team. We're not going to pay. They are very, very guarded against that. So the money's one thing. But, man, you sign that guy and everything, defense is good. Waddle be healthy. Everybody rolling. Oh, by Najee Harris is now out of the building, and he'll be great with the Chargers. But we don't have a quarter. Matter of fact, not only don't we have a quarter, the room's empty.
Yeah.
Okay. The room is friggin' empty, and there's some slim pickings, because I got news for you. Russ Wilson ain't winning no Super Bowl if he were to go back there. I promise you that isn't happening. Not doing it. Fields is gone. Hell, the Jets are so desperate, they gave a guy who will yank it, who's Zach Wilson with better feet. That's what he is. And we'll see if it's better when he gets full time. But good gracious. So look at the desperation. When you do shit out of desperation in anything in your life, urgency's one thing. Desperation's another. And while the Steelers have never seemed to operate as a desperate franchise, this reeks of, oh, my gosh, we got to get him, keep him happy and do. I don't know why, but so we're going to go into the season, just gave a guy a bunch of money. We're a team that likes to run the football, sans, you know, without Ben Roethlisberger in house. Who's going to throw it? And yeah. unless they know something that we haven't talked about, and Aaron Rodgers is that they have this side that they know he's coming back to sign with them, fine. It just seems a little odd, not only the timing, but this is Aaron's style too. You know, he's going to make you guess. He's going to wait till he goes on Pat's show on Tuesday, and right, I get it. But he's never going to let you think that you have one up on him. He's the one that's going to hold the cards. It's a shocking, not shocking that Metcalf got paid. It's just that the team that did it, and they're usually as organized and lined up from top to bottom as it gets. That's an empty quarterback room, and it'll be a lot of frustration from DK and Carl Pickens if, in fact, they don't have a quarterback that can throw it to him. But I'll guarantee you one thing. Mike Tomlin's team will be ready to play in the fall, as they always are.
Yeah. Yep. And they'll be in every game that you play in.
I promise you that. Yeah. A lot of respect for that organization. It's just, you know what? Anytime it's a first, Chad, like what? What? They got this contract and they don't have a quarterback. It seems odd because the Steelers are always so buttoned up. But maybe it's 2025 and even the Steelers get caught up in all the empowerment that goes on and doing it a little different right now. But they'll hang around because of Mike Tomlin, who is fabulous and a great organization.
They're tired of watching the Ravens win the division every year, too, I think.
Well, I got news for them. Ravens aren't going away anytime soon.
No, they're
going
to watch you win it again.
I was going to say, they'll be looking up at him again, so enjoy.
Joy as well. Always enjoy your company, Sean. At Sean Unfiltered, please give him a follow. Thank you so much for the time.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Great to have you. The great Sean Salisbury, of course, Sean Unfiltered. On social media, give him a follow. Host of the Sean Salisbury Show. You can stream it on the iHeart Radio app. Quick reminder, if you're one of the very few people watching us live, you can subscribe to Both Types of Sports on Spotify and on iTunes. It is free, and it don't cost nothing.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
There's links at the bottom of the page right now, or just go to iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast, type in Both Types of Sports and all kinds of chicanery. Tor will be back with me on Monday. We had to dance around a little bit because Sal's is a man in demand and he can make time for us today. So greatly appreciate him coming on. And I have to say, my question about DK Metcalf was less about DK Metcalf and more about it is criticize the Steelers for whatever you like. And if every year you're good for 8 or 9 or 10 wins and that gets you first round of the playoffs and maybe you even play it tight and then you are summarily escorted out. Yeah, I'm guessing there's some wear and tear there on the fan base, but you are still a quality franchise, a paragon of virtue. You still are known for taking the biggest head cases in the league. I love that people are wondering if Mike Tomlin would be able to handle Aaron Rodgers and Pickens and Metcalf all under the same roof. This guy coached Antonio Brown. this guy coached Le'Veon Bell. I mean, go down the list. The psychopaths perform for Mike Tomlin. They have their common decency to go have their meltdown and strip their pads off and get knocked out in boxing. That all happens later, becoming political activists for concussion, CTE. That happens after they leave the auspices of Mike Tomlin. And I have always said this. I was in broadcasting for many years, and now I'm into speaking on the internet like everybody else is. Never look relevance in the face. Never spit in the face of relevance. Said that with Andy Reid and the Philadelphia Eagles before the Washington Capitals won their Stanley Cup with Alexander Ovechkin and Nicholas Backstrom and Mike Green. And it was just endless bitching. How come they can't win a champ? Hey, man, you're in the postseason every year. You got exciting young players. You get a shot. Punch your ticket to the tournament and let the chips fall. That's the way I always look at it. And I get it. I don't have the perspective of what it's like being a Steelers fan, especially when they've raised the bar as high as they did up until that point in the early 2000s and, of course, in the 70s. The point being was not about DK Metcalf and his pacifier and the nose rings and all the fucking crazy shit that comes. I feel like that will sort itself out. I can't believe the Seattle Seahawks had their plan locked, stocked, and ready to cock rock. We've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You can bitch about Geno all you want, but he is. Statistically, go take a look at the numbers, especially with the protection that he had. We're going to get a pick for him, and we already have our new guy coming in the door. Younger, cheaper, relationship with the offensive coordinator. Seattle's a fine franchise. They're not the Steelers. How did Seattle, whether they are right or wrong, like, who the fuck knows if Sam Darnold's going to perform better there without DK Metcalf, without Tyler Lockett? I don't know. But I know that they decided that change was needed. They made a plan. They executed it flawlessly, all the while having multiple parties interested in Sam Darnold. And they did this all before free agency even started, which technically is against the rules. Pulled it off. How do the Seattle Seahawks have that club in their bag and the Pittsburgh Steelers don't? It doesn't make any fucking sense, specifically at the quarterback position. Like, how many years are we going to hump this doorknob? Like, I think Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh makes a lot of sense. I think he could have success there. I think they could be in the playoffs. I think he'll be a year recovered from the injury. He spun it well enough last year, especially towards the end of the season, to make me think, hey, he still got it. He certainly got it more. I mean, when you hear the way people were describing Russell Wilson last season, I think the term was physically broken. And Rodgers is a lot of things. He ain't that. Now, Russell Wilson's going to embarrass you in different ways than Aaron Rodgers does, with his catchphrases, with his crazy rah-rah fucking coach speak that, you know, see Cam Hayward sitting there fucking smacking his forehead listening to that shit. Aaron Rodgers is going to go on and talk about the Illuminati on Joe Rogan. Like, we all know these are different headaches. What I'm saying is I think the team might be better off, but you got to play Rodgers' game. He don't like the media. He doesn't want the media to scoop him. He doesn't want to give the media any quarter, and maybe deservedly so. But you're going to have to put up with that shit, and it's very un-Steelers-like, because you would at least say, okay, you can go on McAfee. You can go to Egypt during OTAs, whatever it is he's going to ask, but we need to know before we give DK Metcalf more money than we've given any player on offense in our history. The largest contract the Pittsburgh Steelers have ever given out. Now, they haven't given a quarterback one of these big cartoonish deals since Ben Roethlisberger left, because they haven't had one, so that'll probably change. Cool story, bros, sent in a super chat. We do accept super chats on this YouTube channel. We're one of the few. Most YouTube channels I watch don't like them, and they disrespect the people that send them in. Cool story, bros, $4.99. Thank you so much. Happy Friday, Sal's and Shoot is a great start to the weekend. Thank you, cool story, bros, for being here live, and thank you for the super chat. If you would like to get up on the screen or contribute to the conversation, at $1.99 super chat is all we ask. It's not that big of a deal. Keeps things moving. Little beak wetting never hurt nobody. All right, I have a lot I still need to get to. I want to go back to the Parsons stuff, but before we do that, Booga! Yikes! Lifeless eyes, black eyes like a doll's eyes. Then you hear that terrible high-pitched screaming, big Chinese fella pulled me on it! How would Quint, Captain Quint of the USS Orca, describe this face from your new quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, Daniel Jones? Holy shit. If you are listening to this podcast, do your shoots to a solid. Go on over to at Colts on X. I was listening to Mike Florio talk about how he'd love to quit X and he'd love to go to Blue Sky full time. And I was just slapping my knee. Of course you would, Mike. Of course you would. Whenever you see, if you're listening to this, I'll try to describe it. So Daniel Jones signs with Indianapolis. Daniel Jones feels like the most Indianapolis Colts quarterback of all time. I don't mean this as a pejorative, but he's legitimately like a tall, slender mason jar of Miracle Whip. I mean, it's just Midwest fucking generic look. I mean, the Colts are, McAfee aside, McAfee is very interesting, I think, as we all know. I used to love Joseph Addai. Who here drafted Joseph Addai every year in fantasy? They used to crank some backs, didn't they? I'm a big Edgerrin James guy. Big Edgerrin James guy. When I moved out to Phoenix to do radio in 2006, guess who was the running back for your Arizona Cardinals? And guess who bought the black alternate Edgerrin James jersey? If anybody feels like they want to help out the Shootster, find me a double X black alternate Edgerrin James Phoenix Cardinals jersey or jersey. Send it my way. I won't vomit on myself, I promise. That was my dude. But normally, the Colts are very benign, very milquetoast, very manila. Anthony Richardson was a very interesting pick for them because they seem like more of a Phillip Rivers team. And I'm not just talking about the color of his skin. I'm talking about he's big and strong and athletic and young and inexperienced. It's like the Colts just feel the exact opposite of that to me. They're like your father-in-law's team that doesn't really like football, but follows them because they live in a suburb outside of town. So Daniel Jones fits that mold. Now he's athletic and he can run, and I thought it would have been smart for him to stay in Minnesota, but I'm not him, and I think he wants a chance to play, and he's got a better chance to play in Indianapolis. Look at this fucking face. Fellas, if you're single and you're swiping right, you're on Hinge, you're on Bumble, you're on Tinder, I don't even know what the fuck, Grindr. I bet a lot of you guys are on Grindr. I don't know what people use anymore. I haven't been single in a long time. I'll never be single again. I will never be single again. If my wife gets hit by a bus, that's it. See this? See what this is? This is like Dean Malenko's got the Texas clover leaf on me. I'm tapping out. Tapping out. You might as well put the rings of Saturn on my big ass. Put me in the crippler. Put me in the crossface crippler. Put me in the crossface chicken wing. I don't give a fuck. Tapping out. I ain't dating ever again. I will never go on a date ever again. No dates. No dates. I'm like Sala saving Indiana. Bad dates. They're all bad dates. Here's what I'm trying to get at. If you swipe right on a bitch and you guys meet up at the Olive Garden for unlimited soup, salad, and breadsticks, right? Like you want to show her a really nice time, what a classy dude you are. And she shows up with this much eye white around the pupils. Run. Get the fuck out of there. Don't even pay the tip. I wouldn't even fake it. Like, I'm going to go to the bathroom and then sneak out the fire exit. I'm getting up and I'm sprinting out the front door and I'm not stopping running till my lungs pop or I'm at the police station. These are a crazy person's eyes. This is somebody, this is a sleep paralysis demon. And I got nothing against Daniel Jones. I don't know that I've ever heard him say anything negative. Correct me if I'm wrong. Daniel Jones ever bitched about the shitty conditions he's played with for most of his career? Some of it might have been his fault. Seems like a nice enough guy. Here's what I can tell you. the eyes are holding back the crazy. And what happens is there's so much crazy built up behind those eyes, it's pushing them forward. They're bulging forward. That lady you're on a date with takes off her sunglasses, and those are the eyes looking back at you. I want you to go into the pocket. I want you to pull out the pepper spray, fog the whole place, hold a lighter up to it like we used to do with the binaca. Pepper spray, everybody, get the fuck out of that place. Drop a couple Hail Marys. Spin around three times like a dog trying to take a nap. Oh, boy. And I don't know what – here's what I would say if I was the Indianapolis Colts. I heard somebody talking about it on the Redidio. I was listening to the Sirius XM NFL station. Maybe it was the NFL station. Do they still have the NFL station? They had a station talking football. And the point being made by the pundit was Daniel Jones is perfect because he comes in and pushes your young, underachieving quarterback. Because he's a former first-round pick himself. He's athletic himself. He's won games in this league. He's got more experience. He just came from one of the greatest quarterbacking environments you could possibly be in 2025 with KOC and Justin Jefferson and Hawkinson and Addison and Aaron Jones. All these fucking, you know, guys would yearn to be with the Minnesota Vikings and resuscitate a career. Kirk Cousins thriving, Sam Darnold thriving, everybody's thriving. But he's not threatening enough. Like, you're not paying him enough money. He is out of a Hall of Fame resume. He's not coming off a Pro Bowl caliber season. He's not threatening enough to make your first round pick that you're still desperate to pay off, to pay dividends, feel that threatened. It's enough threatened. It's threatening enough to Anthony Richardson where he realizes, I'm going to have to compete. I'm going to have to beat this cat out. And this cat's done some things. And so there's that pressure. We'll see how he reacts to it. First round pick, drafted where he was. He knows he's got to start. That motherfucker tapped out of a game and then copped to it in front of the microphone. And I'm the first guy in line that says, I want athletes to be honest. I want them to be more transparent. I want them to be tell us what they feel. I think it's better for the sport. It's better for the media. Humanizes them. Not in that space. People are still talking about that. Former players analyzing whether or not you're going to be able to move ahead with Anthony Richardson in any meaningful way. So the argument was Daniel Jones is the prototype of the type of quarterback that you want to have in that situation because he can provide both things. He's threatening, but not too threatening. Here's the problem that I have. I think you've probably already lost a lot of those guys in that locker room, a lot of those veterans. I don't think you can walk back some of the things that Anthony Richardson did. And if you want to say to me, Dukes, what are we talking about here? There's guys, you know, hitting their wives. There's guys that are fucking drag racing, smashing into people, gun charges. Right. I'm not talking about the really real world. I'm talking about the football world. In the really real world, what Anthony Richardson has done thus far is a 1 out of 10. 1 out of 10. He was honest at a press conference in a moment where he shouldn't have been. It's nothing. But in the football world, it's a 10 out of 10. And I just think that what's best for everybody is to move on. Is you see what the market is for him. And you decide whether or not, you know, a fourth round pick, a third round pick, whatever it is. You decide what it's going to take for it to make sense for your franchise. I understand what they're trying to do. I just don't think it's going to work. Okay. Speaking of quarterbacks, it's a teammate. It's my quarterback. And if you do that, it's really unfair. Somebody find that clip for me, please. Somebody in the chat, find me the clip of Terrell Owens crying on the camera or lying about Tony Romo after dogging Tony Romo and trashing him all season and passive aggressively getting after him. It was Tony Romo, right? I think it was. Josh Allen. 6-year, $330 million extension. That is $250 million guaranteed. That lands him second among quarterbacks, $55 million per year average. He is now tied with so thorough Joe Burrow. Jordan Love and Trevor Lawrence, a fucking imagine. A fuck if fuck if fucking imagine. M fucking imagine that the power structure, the cost of doing business in your league is you've got to try to keep up with Jordan Love and Trevor Lawrence. Cast iron skillet straight to the forehead. Thunk, thunk. This is a ridiculous sport. So Dak Prescott, by the way, still leads the league. $60 million average. God bless him. His teammates are fucking teammates and ex-teammates are fighting on X right now. They ain't going to win shit. They're going to win as many playoff games as you and I will. And that's the way we like it. Josh Allen was given a deal where I think he had 3 or 4 years left on his contract. There was no reason for it other than the fact that he won MVP. And he wasn't getting compensated in quite the same way as some of these other quarterbacks. The Bills decide to be proactive. There are so many different ways to argue this. I don't even know if it's an argument. Discuss this. Is this a dangerous precedent to set? Does this put pressure on other teams now to say, well, I know this guy signed the deal. His agent was there. His family knew about it. We agreed to pay him this much over the next 3 or 4 years. But this other guy on this asshole franchise that doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, you're telling me that because the Jacksonville Jaguars gave Trevor Lawrence a bag or the Green Bay Packers gave Jordan Love a bag, I'm not too sold on that yet, by the way, that means this dude's contract. Now, I understand getting out ahead of it. I certainly understand getting out ahead of it when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, and you see, just pay these guys because it's only going to get more and more expensive. Like, that argument holds true to me. But is the precedent being set now, oh, shit, somebody else just signed a big deal. A dumb franchise signed a mediocre quarterback to a big deal. We got to go give our guy more money. Roar. Now, maybe it's unique. Because it is Josh Allen and he is the MVP. But he spoke about this and I was, you know, I think most people were kind of impressed with this take.
It didn't seem like.
Now, hold on a second. Daniel Jones is haunting my fucking dreams at this point. Daniel Jones is leaping up on the side of the orca and dragging Captain Quint down into the depths of Davy Jones' locker. Got to put 3 batteries in Daniel Jones to bring him up.
It didn't seem like, to my perspective, I was taking a whole lot less. but when the way that I make sense of it, when you start getting these fairly big numbers.
Is Josh Allen, of course, talking about the deal that he just signed and why he didn't feel the need to try to get more money than Dak Prescott, I guess.
Throughout the entire league. You know, it's weird to say this, but what's 5 more going to do for my life that I can't already do right now, right? So like it's not that crazy to me, right?
He's talking about millions of dollars. He's saying, what's $5 million going to do in my life that makes my life that much more different? And the answer is probably not much unless you really drill down on it. I mean, unless you really think about it, it's like you have an opportunity here for $5 million extra dollars over how many years, 6, 7, whatever the amount of the contract is. That's a giant pile of fucking money. I mean, that's a library you build for kids. That's your grandchildren now set up for college forever. You go into your community and you help out homeless veterans. I mean, look, I admire him for saying, I got enough. I'm thankful for what I have. But $5 million is a shitload of money that's going to make a difference, not in your life, but I'm not talking about buying jet skis and boats and a beach house and fucking getting on a Tesla rocket and going up to fucking Mars, going into orbit. No, no, no. I'm just talking about if you think about this systematically and say, okay, I've got an extra $10, $15 million to play with here. How can I better my community? How can I better the world around me? There's an argument to be made. Now, what he is saying is admirable. This organization's been good to me. I like it. We win here. I have fun. I can provide for my family. I don't want to just juice them for as much money as I possibly can. Trust and believe. That's not the way they act 9 times out of 10. Now, maybe I'm wrong about the Bills. The Bills are being very proactive here. They realize what they have. And I hate to have my own bitterness always creep into this argument, but I can't tell you how many vacation days I gave back at my old job. I can't tell you how many free days I worked on the weekend during COVID, how many times they would call other hosts on the station and say, Donovan McNabb has been signed. We need somebody to get into the station and host a show, and it's just me and Bill Rowland. And that whole time, it's like you're paying it forward, paying it forward, paying it forward. This will be reciprocated. It wasn't. It was not. In fact, just the opposite. And that's why I kind of changed my mindset after that whole thing happened, where I'm like, get what you can get. Take your vacation days. Use your sick days. Like, where you're there and you're getting your check, do the best job you can. Work hard. I certainly did. Sure you do. I know Josh Allen does. But don't look at your job like it's your family. It fucking ain't. Let that knee blow out. Let somebody accuse you of something in a nightclub at 2 o'clock in the morning. We'll see. Look, I don't want to be too cynical with this take, but I just, whenever I hear someone say $5 million is a shitload of money, he'll sign more deals. Okay. Okay. And I look, I like what he's saying. I think it's admirable. There's a counterpoint to it, though, and that was my only point.
It didn't seem like, to my perspective, I was taking a whole lot less. but when the way that I make sense of it, when you start getting these fairly big numbers throughout the entire league, it's weird to say this, but what's five more going to do for my life that I can't already do right now, right? So, like, it's not that crazy to me, right? Like, I live a pretty good life. Got a house, got a car. We're good. But I wasn't looking to absolutely kill them at every chance that I could. And I told my agent that. I was like, hey, if this has any impact on the pack, or impact on the cap, I should say, let's figure out a way to not do that. So, again, both sides were willing to move and change different things. And it was a pretty calm mannered negotiation is what I can say, at least what I can hear on both sides. So it was good.
And I'm not naive to the point that it benefits Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills to be able to not have the albatross of a deal that makes it so they can't go out and do what they need to do. Now, Tom Brady did this for many years. Patrick Mahomes, it could be argued, has been doing this. And there are times where I think you ever lend a friend money? And then you immediately become somebody that's in somebody else's business. It's pocket watching. As I lent you $400 and you're in Miami? I lent you $400 and you're bragging about all the money you won on DraftKings this weekend? I've had this happen to me. I lent you a shitload of money and you keep telling me about this tout that you're paying for his pick. And that's not me. Like, I don't want to be in anybody's pockets. That's why eventually, if you're going to lend people money, you got to start looking at it as a gift. You just got to expect to not get it back, or it's going to eat you up inside. I know it affected Tom Brady in New England. Now, maybe it didn't matter because he had two fistful of rings. But if I'm not going to take everything that I could get, everything that I've earned with my ability and my preparation and my, you know, I could go out there and execute in ways that most players only dream. I'm not going to do that because I'm going to trust you to take that money and reinvest it in. We don't have Gabe Davis. We don't have Stephon Diggs. We didn't trade for DK Metcalf. We haven't been able to beat the Chiefs. We can't get over this hump in the playoffs. I got a running back behind me. He's pretty good. He needs a big ass deal. Like, now you're not the general manager. You just have to trust this team to take the money that was rightfully yours. The free market is stipulated. And use it in a way. Do you trust the government to use your tax money appropriately? I don't. I don't think that's political. I don't have a say. Or I go to jail. They lock you up. different situation for Josh Allen. You can either sign that deal or not. And look, I want to make it clear. I think it's admirable what he's doing. And I think it's genuine. I think he believes it. And I also think it benefits him. Go out there and get me a receiver. Get me a running back. Let's get a first-round tight end that wants to play. I don't know what the fuck happened to Dalton Kincaid this year. This is some fantasy bitterness. I ain't going to lie to you. Dalton Kincaid was my sleeper tight end of the season. This is my difference maker. And I won my league, of course. But man, would it have been nicer if I didn't have to play tight end roulette on the waiver wire every fucking week before getting Pat Freiermuth, who put together a couple of nice performances at the end of the season. I don't want to slander that gentleman. Oh, boy. Taking five less may be the difference between winning a Super Bowl and being Dak Prescott. You can't even bring up the two. Dak Prescott, they can't even figure out a way. I mean, they can't figure out a way to keep their players from fighting online. They won't spend any money. The Cowboys are a non-factor. Here's what's sad about the Dallas Cowboys. They're a non-factor in the regular season. They're certainly a non-factor in the postseason. And now they're a non-factor in the offseason. Redskins used to be the offseason champions. They had t-shirts printed up. They won one of the three facets of the games. Cowboy fans are going to have to go bare-chested.
Hey, what do you got?
Both types of sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long. Real long.
Both types of sports.